Welcome back to the program. It's kind of a fascinating story here. And in fairness, it's not one that I feel is going to go anywhere from a legal perspective, at least yet. But I feel that the very discussion is one that has stark realities in the state of affairs today in Canada and how we see family, how we see the institution of the family. An Ottawa law student has centered her thesis around a proposal to the government to change the way it views marriage, to fix marriage, which is to look at it like a cell phone contract, basically. Instead of a lifelong commitment, we should get rid of till death do us part and replace it with four-year term contracts. So when you get married, you say, I want to spend the rest of my 4 years with you. The person says, yes, I love you, and I think I might for the next 4 years, too. You engage in marriage, you consummate the marriage, and then you sign, well, I guess you sign the contract before you consummate it, for the next 4 years. And then if you still love each other after 4 years, you can renew it. Because this will reduce the divorce rate. That's what Véronique Laliberté, the University of Ottawa law student, says. And I wanted to talk about this in a little bit more detail, as well as what the actual problems of marriage are, if it needs to be fixed, and if so, whether or not this will do anything about it. Joining me on the line is Andrea Morozik, the Executive Director of the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. Andrea, it's great to have you on the program.
Thanks for having me on.
So you actually had an op-ed in the National Post on, I believe it was Wednesday or Thursday, about this. Talk to me a bit about your reaction to this proposal.
Well, I, like you, don't believe that this is actually going to go anywhere, legally speaking. I think that there's a little bit of a sensational side to it, and it is a number of things that we can discuss in academia that might be interesting, but not necessarily applicable to life as we know it. Basically, I believe that any move in this direction, were it to actually happen, would be tearing down the institution of marriage further. I believe we have evidence before us. We can talk about this. It says we have a problem with marriage because it is already too much of a contract. And the other, I think that the point of the piece that I wrote in the Post was to say that people are seeking thing with marriage. People are seeking something enduring, against all odds, perhaps. And the ideal is not always lived out. But what people are seeking is an enduring, lifelong commitment. We have common law. You can live with somebody. You can date to your heart's content. You can move in. There's no stigma associated with that. With marriage, it is the last remaining place where we find a commitment to an ideal of a lifelong relationship. And, you know, I could go on and on about why a contractual approach to a four-year term is a terrible idea. At the end of the day, two adults can do whatever they want. But when children come into the picture, as is so often the case, you certainly cannot afford to be living in the domain of a year-to-year, 4 years to 4 years, whatever contract. This is, to my mind, the vestige of a master's student at a University of Ottawa. She's trying it out in her own relationship, and that works at her age and stage. And it's an interesting theoretical thing to talk about, but in reality, it's a bad idea.
You're right, and I wanted to get into the aspect of this with children involved in a moment, but I wanted to focus on that notion of marriage needing fixing in the first place. And one of the things that Ms. Laliberté points out in her proposal for this is the fact that marriage isn't working in the sense of what it used to or what some people would like it to be at. And she talks about divorce rates and saying that, you know, divorces are costly and that having fixed terms would save a lot of the hardship emotionally that comes with a divorce. And the one stark point of this that stood out is that the biggest emotional hardship in divorce is that probably one person doesn't want it, or one person is doing more to lead that down that road in the first place. So what happens if you have a four-year term, and at the end of the 4 years, one person is expecting that every 4 years will renew it, and the other person gets to the end and says, all right, I'm done. Well, you haven't saved anything. You haven't absolved anyone of emotional hardship. You've done the exact same as if you had been married for 4 years and decided you wanted to get a divorce.
Yeah, and the thing is that what she's proposing is something we currently have in no-fault divorce. No-fault divorce, of course, is introduced for an admirable reason, and that was to ensure that someone in an abusive marriage can get out. What it's amounted to in our culture today is this contractual approach to marriage so that it's not enduring. And when I speak about marriage on campus, someone like myself who's more traditional, I'm not typically the speaker that the kids there relate to. But when I talk about the effects of no-fault divorce and how that has meant that in practice, one spouse, one marriage partner walks out on the other for no reason, and it is perceived by the person left behind that they're left high and dry, they had no inkling it was coming. That's something the kids relate to on an emotional level because they've experienced it, and it's traumatizing. And so no-fault divorce hasn't really worked out in many circumstances in the way that it was intended. It did break down that enduring principle behind marriage, even if it was done for an admirable reason. It did break down the longevity of the institution of marriage as we know it. There's a number of other factors, of course, and society's changing all around us in a number of different ways, but the idea of marriage being contractual, no-fault divorce facilitated that. And we do, I think, have a problem with marriage in our culture, but making marriage more contractual is not the answer to fixing it. In my view, we need to have less of a contractual approach. It's going to be difficult to achieve under our current legal environment, but certainly this law student, I think, is sort of what she's experimenting with is taking us further in a bad direction, not moving us into the kind of enduring notion of the ideal on marriage.
Now, when you look at the problems that have led marriage to where it is today, problems like no-fault divorce and problems like cultural changes, do they exist independently or are they a byproduct of kind of culture moving towards more of a consumerist nature with that sort of, if it's not working, I'm not going to fix it, I'm just going to get rid of it and buy a new one? Or are the two is something that exists in parallel?
So I think everything is in parallel on this, and that's why simple answers are not to be found in the marriage question. Why do we have such a high divorce rate? Why is marriage so difficult? Individualism has been on the rise. The community basis of marriage is waning. If you saw McLean's for this week coming up, the newest McLean's is about the lack of communities. A lack of community feeds into the waning family community. Family breakdown feeds into a lack of community. It you know, you'd be hard pressed to find out what came first, really, in this sort of chicken and egg type debate. I think there's a lot of different factors. Scholars speak of the idea we no longer see marriage as a building block. It used to be that marriage was a building block. You got married young. You set out on life together. You didn't know what was going to come, but you built your life together. And today we see marriage as more of a capstone. You've done everything else you wanted to do. You've traveled the world. You've finished your education. Education takes a long time today. I don't want anyone to think I'm decrying education. I'm just talking about a cultural milieu in which marriage has not been really, it has changed a lot and perhaps not for the better. And we have started to view it as an add-on, a kind of icing on the cake type of idea, a contractual idea. The no-fault divorce factor plays into this. And so we don't have a strong institution of marriage, and all those factors definitely come together. These discussions are the sort of thing we're engaged with a lot at the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. I think it's all interesting conversations to be had to talk about returning to building families up, strengthening them, communities as well, that kind of thing.
And this gets back to a point that you raised earlier, Andrea, which is that of children. And obviously in this hypothetical 4-year term marriage, children are completely absent from the discussion, rather, mm-hmm. and I'd say completely irreconcilable with the actual discussion. But with the status quo, how would you characterize the impact it's having on children? Things like no-fault divorce, for example.
Yeah, we fall into the camp of wanting to discuss and talk about how for children, there's no such thing as a good divorce. That's something that became very prevalent, pervasive way of thinking. This is not to say that everyone who's divorced and had to was wrong about it. It's not a blame game, but we want to introduce Canadians to the idea that divorce has negative ramifications, statistically speaking, for children. that it's not a success story. I know there's an author, Elizabeth Markhart, has written a book called Between Two Worlds, just talking about how children of divorce fare, looking at her own personal story as a child of divorce, and then also at the statistics. So the status quo is one in which I think we need to do a better job of prioritizing children wherever possible in helping marriages to stay together. Interesting thing, of course, is that oftentimes people get divorced because they want to be happier. They're very, very unhappy in the current circumstance, and they believe they will be happier if they get divorced. But something the research shows is that if you tough it out in a non-abusive, of course, marriage, I'm talking about non-abusive scenarios, then 5 years down the road, you're happier, but those who get divorced are not. So those are just some of the factoids, I suppose, that we want to talk about in what is obviously a deeply personal and emotional issue. But I think that overturning this notion that there can be a good divorce for kids is probably a pretty important conversation to have in a compassionate way.
Certainly a fascinating discussion indeed. Glad you were able to come on and share some of your insights about this. Joining me on the line is Andrea Morozik from I think an organization that needs to be paid more attention to, and really talking about the institution of family and certainly what that means for people in these marriages as well as for children. And that's the Institute of Marriage and Family Canada. Andrea, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you very much.